Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of egalitarianism, sustainability, peace, wellness, health, and freedom for all without discrimination. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. In this episode, I'm featuring the speech by Miyoko Shinner, founder and president of Miyoko's Creamery, vegan dairy products. A snippet of her speech at the VCOP9, Vegan Convergence of the Peoples. And then after that, we'll hear from Wayne Shung, attempting to enter on the streets an animal exploitation, an animal experimentation building. And then we'll close today's program with celebrating the International Respect for Chickens Day, sponsored by United Poultry Concerns, and an event happening right here in Massachusetts. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Here's Miyoko Shinner at VCOP9, Vegan Convergence of the Peoples, an online event which occurred April 30th and May 1st, 2022.
Okay, you can go ahead, Miyoko. Thank you so much. Yeah.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you, everyone. Can I assume that most of you are familiar with Miyoko's Creamery and the products that we make? What we do is we take plant milk and we turn it into cheese and butter. So I'm going to talk to you about the very beginning of Miyoko's and the little legal battle that we had and why we are so insistent on calling our products plant dairy. And we do not say dairy alternative or dairy free. In the very beginning, when the California Department of Public Health came into my little facility, they said, what are you going to call your product? Because it's not cheese. And I said, well, I was going to call it, you know, vegan cheese. And they said, well, you can't call it that. And so I muttered, cultured nut product. And that is how we launched our cheeses in the very, very beginning. They were called cultured nut products. And so it was like a little vegan secret. Psst, you go into a grocery store, psst, where's the cultured nut product? So vegans all knew it was cheese. And here's kind of what happened. We started butter, and next thing you knew, this product became a problem. This delicious vegan butter became a problem. And we got a letter from the California Department of Food and Agriculture in December 2019, and I published this on social media so everyone could see it, where we were told to remove the word butter from the label, as well as images of animal agriculture from the website, that we couldn't show pictures of cows like this one. This was on our website. Angel was being hugged by a volunteer at Rancho Compasión. And we were told that this image belonged to the dairy industry and we had to remove it from our website. I mean, how ridiculous is that? So it seems like the dairy industry can use misleading terminology, but vegan products cannot use words like milk, even if we say vegan milk or cashew milk. But luckily, what we ended up doing was we sued the state of California on violating our rights to free speech, on violating our First Amendment rights, and we actually won in 2021. So all of our new packaging will say cashew milk cheese or cashew milk butter or watermelon seed, cottage cheese, etc., or plant milk. The California Dairy Lobby actually sent an email out to all California dairy farmers telling them to watch out for me and any of my employees in case we made the rounds to the dairy farms. Not to go and attack them, but to do this program that I'm going to tell you about now. And this is the dairy farm transition program that we have at Miyoko's called DFT. And as I mentioned before, I believe that compassion is for all. We want to bring farmers along to participate in the new sustainable economy of the vegan future. And so we created this program to provide economic assistance to a dairy farmer and to help transition them to growing crops to become part of our supply chain. We're partnering with Rodale Institute and Kitchen Table Consultants in order to create a whole program that will train the dairy farmer on growing crops, crop rotation in a regenerative fashion, and we're guaranteeing a downstream supply chain contract to buy the crops that they grow to become part of our products. We're also doing business coaching, and we're providing economic analysis so that the dairy farmer can understand which crops will yield the most profit and longevity for their particular location. At the same time, the cows will be either sent to sanctuaries or part of that farm will become a sanctuary to allow the cows to live out their life for their natural lifespan. We're partnering with Animal Outlook and Mercy for Animals, and together the three organizations have created another website called the Farmer Toolkit, where even if you're not in our program, DFT, where we're providing the resources and the funding, you can go to the Farmer Toolkit and you can understand how can you transition your dairy or poultry or pig farm into a more sustainable veganic agriculture. I believe that compassion extends to the animals that we must save, but also to the farmers who, many of which, and I'm not talking about industrialized agriculture, but many small stakeholder farmers are fourth, fifth generation, and they're just doing the only thing they've ever known how to do. So how can we enlighten them, awaken them, and show them a new path? You've all heard this before. Happiness is a fundamental human right. And I would wager that it's more than that. It's a fundamental right. I want you to meet Erica. Erica was a dairy cow that lived at Rancho Compasión, who was about to be killed at a dairy because she had arthritis. I believe that when animals arrive at a sanctuary, they know that they are all of a sudden in a safe place. When she arrived at Rancho Compasión and saw the green field, she ran off the trailer and she never stopped running. This arthritic cow never stopped running. I also believe that at the dairy, she didn't get up because she was having a sit-down protest because she knew what was going on around her and she did not want to be part of that. Depression happens in animals too, and when you see how they change, how they too can express love and joy, you are touched.
We're listening to Miyoko Shinner, founder of Miyoko's Creamery, vegan dairy products. Miyoko was speaking at the VCOP9, Vegan Convergence of the Peoples.
Well, I have a target on my back, as I mentioned to some degree. When my farm transition manager at Miyoko started going to farms around California to talk to them to find out if they wanted to participate, she was mainly shooed away. And one friendly farmer laughed and said, "Oh my God, you don't look frightening." And she shared the email with her from the California Dairy Association that basically said, "Watch out for Miyoko and her employee when they come around there." So I think there are people that are going to be upset, and I'm not trying to say they're bad or anything, but they're misinformed because they don't really know what we're trying to do. And so we need an opportunity to just have a conversation with them. And I think you'd be surprised. There are dairy farmers that we've spoken to that are dead set. They're like, "I'm never going to change my ways. This is all I'm ever going to do." And then they call us up and they say, "You know what? I'm now curious about it. Maybe you have a point." So I think it's all about how you approach them. So yes, there are warnings out there, about us, but once you have that conversation, it changes.
Thank you, Miyoko. As always, we got your back, okay? So don't worry about
Thank
anyone
you.
putting targets on
I
your back.
appreciate it. Thank you so much.
We just heard from Dr. Salish Rao, one of the organizers at VCOP9, Vegan Convergence of the Peoples. And we just heard the speech by Miyoko Shinner of Miyoko's Creamery, Vegan Dairy Products. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue the rest of our program. Thank you all for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots, global, unembedded, independent, international investigative news hour. You're listening to WCUW Worcester 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts, online at wcuw.org.
airing weekdays from 1 until 2 p.m.
This is your very own Dr. G behind the microphone here at WCUW.org, streaming out across those interwebs and live 91.3 FM. Community radio serving Worcester and beyond. I'll be bringing you yet another patent-pending sonic thrill ride designed to have you prancing around your yurt while consuming your finest non-GMO and heirloom granola every Thursday morning from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Much love, and I'll see you soon out there in the ethers.
Welcome back from the break. You're tuned in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. Before the break, we heard from one of the speakers at VCOP9, Vegan Convergence of the Peoples, an online event, a group of individuals, of vegans, who are working to co-create a vegan world by 2026, creating a world of normalized nonviolence, non-discrimination, inclusive compassion, and intentional harmlessness. And food for all, vegan food for all. Check out Food Healers. You can find that on the Vegan Spirituality social media site and climatehealers.org. Now I'd like to share a live stream from Wayne Chung, an animal rights activist. This was from April 2022 in Wisconsin.
Thank you, everyone, for sharing and supporting the content we've been putting out about these poor beagles. But I wanted to come to where I am right now, and I'm going to switch the camera over so you can see where I am. The Harlow Center for Biological Psychology. One of the reasons I think doing a rescue and investigation in Dane County is so important is because one of the most powerful institutions in the state, the University of Wisconsin, which is funded with your taxpayer dollars, including federal taxpayer dollars, because if you're a federal taxpayer, which most of us probably are who are watching this live stream, because most of you are probably residents of the United States with some income, some of your money is going to the federal government, which then goes to fund these national primate research centers. And there are thousands of monkeys, sorts of monkeys, that are subjected to all manner of torturous experiments at national primate centers that are funded by the federal government. One of the most disturbing things about this particular site is this name, Harlow. So I'm gonna tell you a little about Harry Harlow. So Harry Harlow is one of the most infamous animal torturers in the history of primate research. And the experiments he did, I'm gonna pull it, let's move a little bit away from here, actually, because it's loud. We're gonna move away from the construction machine, I don't even know what that is, a bulldozer, a backhoe or something. Harry Harlow is the one who did the experiments on maternal deprivation. So what they did is they took these baby monkeys and they took them away from their mothers and they placed them in environments where there was a doll, right? And the monkeys, these babies, because, you know, all babies want to be with their mothers, they would actually approach these dolls and start cuddling with them, hugging them, because they're desperate for some sort of affection and contact and touch. Yeah. It's actually kind of ironic that I'm here seeing the Harlow Center for Biological Psychology, because I just wrote a blog this morning about the importance of physical touch and about how dogs taught me how to overcome my fear of physical touch. I was terrified of being touched by anybody when I was a kid because I got beaten up and abused so much by the other kids at school. But Harry Harlow was researching touch as well, and he found, it was interesting that all primates, including human beings, have this natural desire for physical touch. They want to be with their mothers. They want to be with someone who's going to care for them and touch them in an affectionate way, not strike them, not experiment on them, not right. force feed them poisons and toxins.
Right.
What they did, though, was they found the compulsion and the desire and need for physical touch was so strong that even when they made these dolls that were like simulated mothers and put needles all over them so that every time the baby monkey attempted to cuddle for mother, she was poked and cut and prodded, and it was painful. Yeah. The babies would still come and touch them.
Yeah.
They would still come and grip their mothers, these dolls that were not even real monkeys. They were inanimate objects, you know, just inanimate dolls covered in needles. And this is the experiment he performed, like torturing Jeez. Baby monkeys. And this man who tortured these baby monkeys is being celebrated by the University of Wisconsin. This building, from what I understand, has about 800 primates in it. Right next to the building is another building that has about 2,200 primates. So I'm going to just walk around and show you the entire facility. One thing about the National Primate Research Centers, there are apparently seven of them. I'm cribbing off my friend, Jeremy Beckham, who's taught me a lot about vivisection, because I'm actually not a vivisection expert. Maybe I should be, and certainly I'm going to learn more about it as we prepare for trial in the Ridgeland case, because, you know, we have to be on our game. We have to have our facts as accurate as possible as we present our narrative to the world as we go to trial. But one thing about these national primate research centers, and there's seven of them across the nation, here's one, here's another, is they're basically factories for monkeys. They have these breeding colonies of at this facility, macaque monkeys. When someone needs to do an experiment on monkeys, they'll actually reach out to the primary research centers. And again, this is one of the facilities of thousands of monkeys, and just commission them, contract with them to perform all manner of terrible experiments. And we'll just walk to the side and see this place. One interesting fact about this particular center is at one point in history, about 10 to 15 years ago, this building right next to the two primate research center buildings. So there's two buildings that are housing primates that are being experimented on. In the middle, there's this white dilapidated building. And the story of this white dilapidated building is a fascinating one, because about 10 to 15 years ago, there's some activists, including Rick Bogle, who's a local, I think one of the founders, or at least a former president of the Lions for Animals, Jeremy Beckham, who's worked at PETA and a number of other animal rights organizations, who actually attempted to buy this property because it's dilapidated, it's a piece of junk, there's, you know, no value in it. They attempted to buy this property and turn it into a museum for animal rights. And it would have been an amazing place, because it would have been a museum nestled between two primate research buildings. So anytime anyone, including the employees or family members or colleagues of the people at this research center, came to the research center, they'd also have to see the animal rights perspective, which of course is so important, because it's a perspective that's being silenced. I mean, literally the animals are being silenced inside these facilities, and animal rights activists like me are being silenced with prosecutions that are threatening us with 10, 15, 20 years in prison. But I want to show you some of the other signage around here. Right, here we go. National Primate Research Center, National Institutes of Health, University of Wisconsin. And I've been told that even just walking around here, even though this is all public property, could lead to the police being called. So if the police do get called, please let them know that we haven't done anything. You've been here with us on Facebook Live. We have not done anything illegal here. We're just walking public property. This is a public university. It is publicly funded with taxpayer dollars. But you can see it's a National Primate Research Center. And isn't it weird that this federally funded, taxpayer-funded public institution does not allow anyone inside, even during business hours? You know, I think we have plenty of facts about what's done to animals and research. And we know that those facts, including the Harlow experiments, some of the most infamous experiments in the history of vivisection, were done right here at the National Primate Research Center. It's very creepy for me to think that I don't even know which of these buildings it was or whether the buildings have been renovated, but it's incredibly creepy for me to think that the Harlow experiments unfolded right here. There were baby monkeys being tortured to the point that, you know, they're being forced basically to grip onto these dolls covered in needles to seek some sort of maternal affection. Yeah, it's just one of the creepy things. Oh, so we do have police officers come. Not sure if they're for me. Are you here for me? I'm just a member of the public interested in what's happening inside these facilities. Yeah, it's really sad too that students are being trained. And I have a lot of sympathy for the students, because my dad was a graduate student at one point. He actually experimented on animals at a place not dissimilar to this. Yeah, he told me about all these awful things he had to do. So anyways, I'm going to wait for the security guard just a little bit more. We're outside of the Wisconsin National Primate Research Center. This is a federally funded, taxpayer-supported institution. The doors are all locked. They have some marketing outside of some of their buildings talking about how you need to get the facts. And they have, you know, a pretty image of a primate looking pretty happy. Violet is saying, if it's publicly funded, what reason could there be for no public access? You're right. Mandy is sharing. Thank you. Jeremy Loeb from North Carolina, who's an amazing guy who helped us a lot in the North Carolina trial and actually came out to the Bay Area recently and did some press work for us. He's a former reporter at NPR. Awesome guy. Thank you for tuning in, Jeremy. Amy Meyer, who's an amazing activist in Utah, who herself has been charged for investigating factory farms and animal abusing facilities, has a link to an investigation that PETA did at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, which you should definitely check out. I mean, we should check out the propaganda that the company is providing too, but we should also look at the facts presented by the animal rights movement, because the animal rights movement, unlike the institution, does not have a financial incentive to lie. I don't see the security guard coming out again. He said he was going to check and see if we're allowed inside. There's a doorbell here, so let's just ring this. They have this, like, happy cartoon monkey outside of the National Primate Research Center. Isn't this creepy, everyone? They have, like, a cartoon monkey outside here at the doorbell of a facility that's torturing monkeys. It's criminal. And just because someone powerful or wealthy is committing a crime does not mean they should not be held accountable. Because that's the nature of justice, right? Hello, officers. Is there any reason so many officers here?
I think they're training.
Oh, it's training. Okay. But are you here for me? For training? Four officers and two SUVs for training? Okay, so you just... But why are you here with me then?
We are training. We're brand new to the department. So therefore, we go out to every
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, yeah. No, I get it. And definitely. And I respect you all. And, you know, my uncle's a cop and it's not an easy job. So in Taiwan, actually. Yeah. He's in the military police. What's that? Yeah, it's a scary place. Like, China has not been kind to the Taiwanese. And the government there is not nearly as nice as ours. So it's a little scary. I've been arrested in China. I know. And it's a scary place. Yeah, so is there a call made about me just from standing here? And you're right. I love what you said about I have the right to do what I'm going to do, because this is not the Chinese government. This is the U.S. government. And thankfully, in this government, we have a Bill of Rights and the First Amendment. And I'm appreciative of that. And I know. Okay, great. Yeah, I mean, what we're interested in is, obviously, you have no authority over this, is whether there's animal cruelty happening inside this primate facility. That's my only concern. And I know there have been a number of investigations, including one that's been linked to on Facebook Live that I'm doing right now, showing awful cruelty to primates. Well, I'll just let you continue doing your job, and I'll just continue trying to see if I can get in. Because the University of Wisconsin gets millions of dollars to torture these animals. They get contracts from pharmaceutical companies. Like, some pharmaceutical companies that many times are hurting us, like killing us. How many millions of Americans have died from these pharmaceutical companies? One of the steps in that process that makes a lot of money for the pharmaceutical companies, because they get grants, universities get grants, there's a huge amount of money involved, is to torture animals. And that's not acceptable. I think when someone did that, if there's a garage right here where someone was basically parading monkeys into an environment where they're getting stabbed by needles, everyone out here would say that's not acceptable, because it's a powerful institution with a lot of money and authority, like the University of Wisconsin, they get away with it. And that's not cool. That's not cool. Anyways, that's my take. Thanks for listening.
Did you get screwed off to your name?
I didn't. I should have. That was actually... Yeah, please. For the record, folks, you know, generally you should not provide your name to police unless, you know, there's some very specific reason.
You don't have to give me...
No, I'm happy to do it. I'm an attorney, but as an attorney, I feel like I advise people, you know, as a general matter, you're not required to give your name unless there's some probable cause for an arrest. You shouldn't do it voluntarily for the most part, but I'm doing it just as a show of good faith, this gentleman, because these guys have all been very polite and they're doing their jobs. As long as I'm waiting here, I'll give you all another quick update on the preliminary hearing this morning. As you all know, or maybe you don't know, but I'll tell you now, I'm charged with two felonies along with two of my co-defendants, Eva Hamer, Paul Bickelsheimer, for the rescue of a blind beagle puppy who is going through intense periods of psychosis inside of a cage. She had probably lived in that cage for virtually her entire adult life. We took her out, took her to the vet, gave her a loving home. She's happy now because of what we did. This is a facility that has been investigated, researched by animal rights advocates for many, many years. Ridgeland Farms, it's about 30 minutes away from here. I'm actually not outside Ridgeland right now. I'm outside of the National Primate Research Center at the University of Wisconsin, the Harlow Primate Research Center. And Harry Harlow is an infamous name in the history of animal cruelty, which you all should Google Harry Harlow right now and find out about the horrible experiments he did on maternal deprivation many, many years ago. But at the preliminary hearing today, there was a finding of probable cause, which means I am going to be officially charged and arraigned on those two felony charges, which could lead to a sentence up to 15 years. Your rights in a preliminary hearing are very limited in Wisconsin, so we didn't really get a chance to effectively cross-examine the state's witnesses. I thought the judge seemed reasonable. He was giving us a little bit of leeway, which was good because, you know, defendants, especially defendants who are facing potential prison time, should have some leeway to ask some questions. But at the end of the day, given the nature of the proceeding, we lost and we expected to lose. So the trial probably will unfold, you know, maybe sometime in late 2022, early 2023. But as scary as it is to think about incarceration for up to 15 years, I'm really proud of the work we did, and the only regret I have is that we weren't able to save more dogs. And really, this is what it's all about. It's about saving lives. You know, we've been talking, Lawrence and I were saying that, you know, if you're proud of the work you're doing, you talk to people about it,
yeah.
Right? That's why animal rights advocates are always doing outreach, because maybe we're a little too proud. We come across as morally self-righteous because we're so proud of our work. And they have the opposite problem, where they're so terrified that anyone will find out about their work that they lock their doors, they call the police, they run away from you when you try to have a conversation. That tells you a lot, right,
yeah,
about the nature of the industry.
Looking the other way.
Yeah.
You're right. Desensitization of media.
That's absolutely what's happened. Desensitization is a great word.
Just because our family did it and our family's family did something, and
because
a university or because organizations did something for 70, 100 years doesn't make it right.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. So let's see if we can get a conversation. But I'm going to go up to the door one more time. I don't see anyone here. Does anyone see anything in here? Oh, I see some people there.
I'm waving at them and they're looking at me. They're looking at me, but they don't seem to want to come out. Hi there. Hello, can you come talk to us?
That was Wayne Shung, animal rights activist, animal liberation activist. And the final outcome was, as you can probably guess, they weren't allowed in. A research center exploiting, harming macaque monkeys. My announcement in this episode of Vegan Nation is about the International Respect for Chickens Day, May 4th, 2022. A national and international event sponsored by United Poultry Concerns and the local group in Massachusetts called Positive Change for Animals, social and volunteer group, is sponsoring a Zoom event on Wednesday, May 4th at 7 p.m. Join PCA, Positive Change for Animals, for an informative and fun meeting live with Andrea Martin of Black Thistle Chicken Rescue in Clinton, Massachusetts. May 4th is International Chicken Appreciation Day, as created by the nonprofit United Poultry Concerns. At this meeting, we will get to virtually meet live chickens, hear about ways you can advocate for them, and learn the basics of how to rescue and care for chickens. For those interested in this event, you can visit the website of Black Thistle Chicken Rescue in Clinton, Massachusetts, and also the Facebook group Positive Change for Animals. And I'd like to thank all the listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation, bringing you news and events about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of the station nor its management. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Let's go out with one of the songs from Will Tuttle's Animal Songs album. This is The Chicken Song. And this is Marlene wishing you a good day. We'll also hear The Liberation Song by Ernesto. Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation.
Ever wanted, it's all I've ever wanted.